One of this summer's most popular shows just streamed its season finale. Only Murders in the Building features a slimy true crime podcaster played by Tina Fey.
I need something with famous people and blood and ideally a hot girl with a great rap. God, I need a murder.
Morally dubious podcasters are all over popular culture right now, says NPR's Netta Ulubi.
You might have seen a morally dubious podcaster in the new movie Vengeance, who exploits the possible murder of a girl he briefly dated.
I have a story. Can it wait?
No, I'm in Texas. I'm on my way back from a funeral.
Oh my God, I'm so sorry.
It's okay. It's not someone I was close to.
Or the one inserting herself into a crime scene in the show Dexter: New Blood.
I'm a podcaster.
I have a real aversion to liars.
Oh, no, I wasn't lying. I said I was here to help with the search, and I was.
And you're doing a story about it.
Morally dubious podcasters are an obvious archetype for our times, says Nicholas Kwa. He covers podcasts for Vulture and New York Magazine.
I think it's the cravenness of their pursuit to become famous, to achieve notoriety.
We're making a podcast and...
We're investigative journalists.
Kwa has noticed these kinds of characters, these morally dubious podcasters, for a while.
My favorite was the first one I ever noticed, which was the true crime podcasters on 2018's Halloween.
They are terrible.
Aaron and I have made several award-winning public radio exposés.
No, not public radio. But Nicholas Kwa says, don't worry, NPR is not really to blame.
The rise of the morally dubious podcast is intertwined with the fact that there are quite a bit of morally dubious podcasters.
There's a notorious example from the New York Times.
How does ISIS prepare you to kill people? Is there anything?
We had dolls.
Dolls?
Yeah, we had dolls to practice on.
The podcast Caliphate had to be essentially retracted when its sensational subject turned out to be a liar. And Kwa says it's hardly alone.
Look at up and down the Apple podcast charts and you'll find any number of frankly morally dubious true crime shows, people who in some cases plagiarize other people's reporting and accessorize it and maybe spread inconsistent facts or incomplete truths.
Kwa has written about one of those podcasts, Crime Junkie, that happens to be one of the most popular in the country. But it's also not just true crime. Morally dubious podcasters of all genres are showing up in popular culture.
Friends, this is a podcast. That's Latin for as is.
Knew it is.
We record it, slap some stolen music on it, and then up to the web it goes.
The Rutherford Falls features several morally dubious podcasters, a smarmy Joe Rogan-inspired racist, and an opportunistic NPR reporter pitching a public radio travesty.
This is a story about stories. Our narratives about who we are and how we got here. It's about a town. But it's also about everything.
Wow, everything. Sounds big.
All of this reminds NPR's pop culture podcaster, Linda Holmes, of the early days of blogging.
So you can start a podcast tomorrow with very little equipment, right?
That means, she says, a lot of people who are not journalists can suddenly fill the space. Talented people, celebrities, people whose voices were traditionally marginalized.
But then you also do get, in podcasting, as was the case in blogging, a certain amount of grifting and people whose stuff is kind of gross, as well as just people who aren't following, I don't know, the rules that you would want them to follow.
To a certain extent, the morally dubious podcaster is a new twist on a classic figure, the stranger in town. It's an expository device, a way to frame a story. But right now, when numerous polls show trust in the media collapsing, the morally dubious podcaster has particular power. You don't know why she's here or what she's mining from your truth. Netta Ulubi, NPR News.